540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. After a day of deadly and dangerous flooding, New York's Governor Kathy Hochul credits military people at West Point for helping save lives.
Brave crews came all the way from West Point, not going to foreign lands to save people, but right here in their own backyard, and I am so grateful.
At least one death is blamed on the surging water that hit New York and other parts of the Northeast. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The torrential rain that is going to be over an area that cannot handle it in a short period of time, this could be the most impactful flood event in Vermont since Hurricane Irene, and that devastated the state.
Forecasters say it'll be a 10th day in a row where temperatures hit or top 110 in Arizona. The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams says the sweltering heat is on the move.
Our high pressure in the southwest is expanding its reach. That means triple digits from California to Texas. And by Friday, it'll feel like 100 degrees or more for 90 million Americans across the south.
A notorious former sports doctor convicted of sexual assault was stabbed several times at a federal prison in Florida. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The attack happened yesterday at the U.S. Penitentiary in Coleman, Florida. Larry Nassar said to be in stable condition after being stabbed several times in the back and chest by another inmate. He was sentenced to decades behind bars for sexually assaulting female gymnasts, including Olympic medalists.
Overseas, President Biden with a stop in the U.K.
A warm royal welcome at Windsor Castle, where President Biden took tea and talked climate with King Charles. Earlier, warm public smiles and handshakes with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. But the private meeting touched on Mr. Biden's controversial decision to give Ukraine cluster munitions, which the UK and several other NATO members have banned. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Well, correspondent Cammie McCormick tells us about a meeting involving Russian President Vladimir Putin right after the uprising by a mercenary group.
A Kremlin spokesman says Putin met with Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin for 3 hours in late June, and Wagner military commanders were also present. The meeting took place at the Kremlin. Prigozhin's mutiny stemmed from his long-running criticism of Russia's top military brass. His whereabouts are still unknown.
The New York Times is getting rid of its sports department. It will rely on coverage from its website, The Athletic. The paper says no layoffs. 35 affected staffers will take on other jobs at the paper. Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 112 points. The S&P is down about 5 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A federal judge says the Maquonago School District has to let transgender students use the restrooms and locker rooms aligned with their gender identities. Judge Lynn Adelman's order is part of a lawsuit against the school district. An 11-year-old transgender student and her mother sued after the school board passed a policy requiring kids to use facilities based on their birth sex. That happened last month. School officials have gone as far as to keep track of which facilities students use. The Journal Sentinel reports Adelman is citing a similar case in Kenosha from 2017. Governor Evers says he did not break any promises with his line item veto to put school spending levels in place for 400 years. Republican Assemblyman Voss called Evers a liar on WISC Sunday, but Evers tells WISC TV's For the Record he did not go back on his word.
At the end of the day, that's the governor's prerogative, and I'm proud to be able to use that type of veto in order to help give some certainty to our schools.
Wisconsin governors have sweeping line item veto authority on budget bills. Republicans say they're considering a lawsuit, legislation, or a constitutional amendment to rein Evers in. Meanwhile, the governor says he's willing to keep haggling with Republicans over a new tax cut. He reduced the GOP's $3.5 billion tax cut in the state budget because Evers says it was too broad and gave too much to people in Wisconsin who need it least. There's officially a race for Western Wisconsin's congressional seat. Jimmy Cuska has more.
Rebecca Cook owns a home goods store in Eau Claire and finished second in the Democratic primary in the 3rd District House race last year. She's the first Democrat to announce plans to run against freshman Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden. Cook calls Van Orden part of the problem in her campaign announcement. WisPolitics reports there are other Democrats thinking of challenging Van Orden. State Senator Brad Paff might get in. So could retired CIA officer Deb Baldus McGrath and Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation CEO Missy Hughes. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media News.
An invasive species is posing a threat to native Wisconsin trees. Spongy moth caterpillars can defoliate trees, which can put them under enough stress to kill them. The pests feed on many species, but seem to prefer oak, aspen, and birch trees. They also like crabapples, willows, and tamaracks. The Department of Natural Resources recommends wrapping burlap skirts around the trunks of trees, then brushing any caterpillars you find into soapy water to kill them. The DNR says not to touch them with your bare hands because they can irritate the skin and even make it hard to breathe. The food we eat in the future might be grown from genetically designed seeds. Farmers see cause for excitement and concern at the Senate reports.
Certain companies are trying to perfect seed technology by establishing genome blueprints that emphasize specific traits, such as making a crop more resistant to drought. Mark Watney of the North Dakota Farmers Union thinks these products will be on the scene soon, adding they could bring stronger yields for farmers, along with healthier crops to sell.
We could maybe turn off the little sequence within the DNA that could maybe some people that are gluten intolerant could maybe eat wheat products.
These seeds are different from genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, because there's no use of outside DNA sources. Watney urges regulators to strike a balance that fosters accessibility while deterring monopolies. I'm Mike Moen.
Keep an eye out for the Northern Lights on Thursday. The best time to see them will be from 10 at night to 2 in the morning out in the country. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. For WAUK and WRJN News, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A Waukesha teacher who could be fired over Dolly Parton's Rainbow Land song has a hearing today. Melissa Temple is a first-grade teacher at Higher Elementary. She tweeted her objections when the song was removed from the school's spring concert. The district says Temple's response was inappropriate and accuses her of violating district policies. The second of two people charged with looting a Kenosha beauty store in the 2020 riots has been sentenced. Rhiannon McNabb is pleading guilty to burglary, and two other charges are dismissed as part of a plea deal. She'll spend 2 years on probation. Video footage caught McNabb and Antoine Simpson breaking in and stealing merchandise and $5,000 cash. Simpson was sentenced to 3 years in prison in December. Improvements are finally done to downtown Waukesha. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
A decade's worth of work is done in Waukesha, which should make getting around downtown easier. The recent reopening of Broadway and the successful culmination of the Waukesha Downtown Reconstruction Program were celebrated recently. The program brought a lot of upgrades to the area, including improvements to the sewer and water mains, signal replacements, and better sidewalks. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Everyone's okay after a Caledonia police car and another vehicle were involved in a fiery rollover crash Saturday afternoon. The Caledonia Fire Department says the police officer was involved in a chase going 90 miles an hour when the other vehicle pulled out in front of the squad. Everyone involved walked away from the crash and didn't appear to be seriously hurt. The 55th year of Summerfest is in the books. Summerfest attendance is coming back up since the pandemic, but crowds have been smaller than they were before COVID. The official attendance for this year's Summerfest should be announced sometime this week. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Happy Friday! This weather has been amazing, with the wildfire smoke gone and drought conditions improving. As bright and beautiful sunshine kicks off the day from a high pressure overhead, it's rising our high temperatures to the upper 70s throughout the central portion of the state, with upper 60s to low 70s far north and far south. Clouds begin to take over as the day progresses, with winds colliding in central Wisconsin. A lake breeze from Lake Michigan keeps those hometowns cooler, and a west wind along the Mississippi rises temps slightly. However, light rain will begin to roll into western Wisconsin around 4 p.m., and sweeps eastward through the southern half of the state for the rest of the evening. A few downpours and some thunder rumbles are possible along the state line late. No storms are expected to be severe. Have a fantastic Friday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers shut out the Reds. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers beat the Reds 1-0 at American Family Field. Christian Yelich, who celebrates his 10th year in the majors today, hit a double in the bottom of the first. Then with two outs, Brian Anderson with the call on Bally Sports.
Brings up the former Red, Jesse Winker. Winker drives one into center field, a base hit. Here comes Yelich, he will score. And Jesse Winker with an RBI.
That would be it, 1-0, thanks to six shutout innings from Brewers pitcher Wade Miley, who disagreed he had good command on his pitches.
If y'all really knew where I was trying to throw it, you wouldn't say it was great command. I was missing with it up and away, but they were swinging at it. So I was trying to go in with all those, and they just happened to swing at them.
Miley spent two seasons in Cincinnati. Before coming to the Brewers, Reds manager David Bell spoke to us as the team's equipment truck was being loaded up.
Yeah, we've seen Wade Miley a lot. We've seen him pitch really well, obviously. No-hitter and did a great job for us. I don't know if I've seen him like that. That was really, really good. You know, and I know our hitters aren't thinking that way. You know, we expected to score some runs, but Wade really pitched well. He was throwing hard. He looked great out there, and it's good for Wade.
The Reds remain one game ahead of Milwaukee in the NL Central and will host the Brewers Friday night after the All-Star break. The Reds had won their last seven series on the road, but the crew took this series 2-1. Closer Devin Williams got the save. Craig Counsell praised the bullpen and Brewers catcher William Contreras on getting the shutout.
Really great pitching today. Really great job by William Contreras today, I thought. I thought he read swings well and worked great. I thought he did a great job with Devin there, that sequence in the last inning. So we pitched very well, and the guys that have, you know, four guys who have had really good first halves for us and pitched really well for us in the first half, you know, kept them to zero.
The game only lasted 2 hours and 4 minutes, which tied the record set at AmFam Field back in 2006 in a game against the Dodgers. Tonight, it's the Home Run Derby from Seattle on ESPN, coverage at 7 o'clock. Baseball's draft continues today. Last night, the Brewers selected infielder Brock Wilken, a power hitter out of Wake Forest, with the 18th overall pick. With the 33rd, they selected Josh Knoth, a right-handed pitcher from Long Island, New York. NBA, the Bucks re-signed veteran forward Jay Crowder over the weekend. In summer league action, the Bucks beat the Suns 84-75. Marjon Beauchamp led Milwaukee with 20 points. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, we just kept talking about keep fighting. This team is very resilient, our physicality. And I kept telling them, you know, our defense is going to win for us. You know, in the second half, I believe that we held them to 25 points, so yeah, super proud of them. This game is really about effort and will. I thought in the first half, Phoenix was opposing their will on us, and we were kind of giving in to it. In the second half, we played Bucks basketball.
That's the Bucks' Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shop. We'll see lots of sunshine for this afternoon with highs in the upper 80s, close to 90, with breezy southwest winds. For tonight, chance for some late night showers and storms, a low of 66. Tuesday, lingering slight chance for a shower or storm early in the day, not as hot, with highs back to 81 and low 70s making a return for Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently, it's 81.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And I am once again joined by Papa Luke. He is back. He is fresh in town off his off some time off. And Luke, how you doing? How was your time off?
I'm good, Will. I enjoyed the couple days away and enjoying getting back into the things while I was gone.
Well, I mean, it went pretty well. I'm not going to say that it was a party without you, but it was low-key kind of a party without you, and we made that joke quite frequently. but we did it out of love. Like, you're like the professional, you know, well-manicured individual who keeps us crazy folk straight-lined and ready to go and prepared and all that kind of stuff. So without you around, you know, we had to let loose a little bit. We partied for a few days. We got it out of our system, but we're back and we're ready to get to work. We're ready to cover the biggest news stories in the state of Wisconsin. And if you'd like to share in those conversations with us, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. Aaron's on the board today. Aaron, how was your weekend?
My weekend was nice. I went home to Manitowoc and got to spend some time with my family on PSA, holding up a full hand.
Aaron, I had one rule while I was out of town. I said no parties on the show. Come on, you were supposed to be watching and holding down the fort while I was away.
I mean, it depends on your definition of party.
First, I hear about parties on the air. I hear about nieces' birthday parties. What is this? I said no parties while I was gone.
Yeah, we didn't have any Democratic or Republican representatives on the show.
Okay. All right.
Neither party was represented.
We did throw a couple of Project X type ragers, but no political parties were involved.
There you go. Well, folks, if you got a headline that you'd like to share with me to catch me up on what I missed while I was gone, 844-967-2789. Because yeah, the budget got signed. I leave, and you got a budget. You got the breaking news with the Dane County district court judge here in my neck of the woods, Will, that allowed for the dispute over the 1849 abortion ban to go forward as well. So I leave and all this, and I was hoping for some quiet news days on, but quite a bit to catch up on this Monday morning and afternoon.
Oh, that's how it always goes, Luke. If you take any time off, there will be nothing. It's like the paradox of the news of American news cycle. If you're here, nothing's going to happen, but the second you step out, everything's just going to get crazy. It's going to get wild. So I guess, Luke, I got to ask you then, because obviously the budget was the big news story of last week. We covered it pretty extensively on Friday. We covered it a little bit on Thursday with the premiere of Office Hours with Professor John Sheldon. And on Wednesday, obviously, we covered youth involvement and engagement in Wisconsin politics with Colin McNamara. But what are your thoughts on the budget that Tony Evers passed on Wednesday, in particular regarding some of the line item vetoes?
Yeah, I'm still catching up on all the details. A 400-year extension of public school funding here in Wisconsin. Pretty fascinating veto. I did not know what to expect. There was Some thought that the entire budget could have been vetoed, but 51 line item vetoes, still going through to catch up on all of them. But that one, pretty eye-popping. The change of a few dates going and extending public school funding for 400 years, 402 years. Pretty impressive line item veto. I'm curious to know if that's just like a giant word search, Will. Do you think the Evers administration just kind of puts down the budget and then just goes through and just starts combing to see where they could make a few red lines to change things? Or how do you think that whole process went through?
I mean, that would be a pretty sweet job. If the Evers administration is hiring like an official troll that they want to read through legislation to find where they can like, where they can make really, really good internet content by stepping up to the plate and doing something like wild or crazy, get a dollar, because I'd love to throw out.
Yeah, that would be an interesting word search that's going on right there. But folks, if you, again, want to catch me up on any of the headlines you think I should know about while I was out, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. But pretty interesting to see everything that is going on with the budget. One of the things you noted, Will, was something that was not included in it with a piece over by our friends at Wisconsin Watch. Let's dive into this one. We got the headline, Republican lawmakers reject proposal to help Wisconsin communities access federal grant programs. So this was one of the things not included, Will, in last week's signing of the biennial budget. What can you tell us about this program that was not included for the next 2 years?
Yeah, so reading from, as you noted, from Wisconsin Watch, communities could obtain slices of the billions of federal dollars allocated for infrastructure and renewable energy projects, such as upgrading drinking water systems or purchasing electric buses. I think it's interesting, Luke, that the very first sentence notes upgraded drinking water systems because of a story that we're going to get to later on in the show. You'll have to stick around to hear about that, but that was a really good find from you this morning, Luke. Going back to the piece, but the Republican-controlled legislature has rejected a recent proposal to help staff-strapped towns and villages circumvent the greatest barriers for bringing home such funds, the federal government's time-consuming application and record-keeping requirements. In his two-year budget proposal, Democratic Governor Tony Evers pitched the creation of a five-person resource team to help local governments identify and apply for federal and state grants. Milwaukee Rep. Evan Goyke said, quote, this is a small amount of state money that can help local units of government access large amounts of federal funds. You know, basically, it's an investment. We're putting a little bit of state funds into our towns and our villages and our communities. They have the knowledge, they have the resources available to accept a lot of these federal programs that are already out there, already exist. And why would you not want to be taking advantage of that at the state level? Rep. Goyke went on to say, and what those federal funds can do locally can be transformational, but those locals have to know the opportunity is there and they have to have the technical assistance, unquote. However, the GOP-controlled Joint Committee on Finance rejected the $960,000 measure along party lines before sending the budget to the full legislature. As we know, small communities are very much struggling to manage grants. Wisconsin cities and villages, where the median population is about 1,500-ish, often lack the self-capacity to track, apply for, and manage grants. Jerry Deshane, the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, was quoted as saying, Wisconsin is a state of small towns. We need to patients. They simply don't have a bunch of bodies sitting around waiting to do federal paperwork. This, Luke, we have seen a number of examples of this over the years. The best example, I think, is Medicaid expansion, right? Something that we've talked about on the show frequently. We have opportunities at the state level to take federal funding and use it to improve the lives of Wisconsin citizens on a day-to-day basis. And the Republican legislature just chooses not to. I mean, well, I don't know if
this goes even farther than that, Will. This is the legislature not even having the support at the state level for those local communities that lack the bandwidth is really what it comes down to. They just don't have the manpower to be well-versed in all of the opportunities for federal grants out there. And this office would have created a lifeline for some of these communities, a lot of them rural communities, small town communities across the state of Wisconsin that could receive federal funds that are out there and available for them to be able to address problems in their community, but don't know about it or don't have. So having a precision team that would be able to go and learn about these and inform communities and help along those the grant process kind of just makes sense, but apparently not enough to include it over the next two-year budget. As the piece notes, and it wasn't something that Evers could put back in to the two-year budget because although the veto power of line item vetoes is very expansive, as we discussed with the 400-year extension of school funding here in Wisconsin, he can't just write in a program that wasn't included. And so since this program was not included in the biannual budget, it's not going to be seen over the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And there's a number of different issues that this would apply to, Luke. To give you an example, David Carlson, who's an administrator of Lancaster, a city, noted that much of the funding at the federal level tends to be for projects that we don't have, pointing to a recently announced program that seeks to increase connectivity in rural areas funded under the bipartisan infrastructure law, which would allocate $550 billion in new spending for water, transportation, energy, and broadband internet projects, something that we have covered in the past that a lot of rural Wisconsinites just don't have access to. The Rural Connectivity Program requires proposals to have a regional impact according to the grant criteria. And Carlson noted that, let's face it, most small communities don't have transportation projects that have regional impact. So we have so many programs across the board that would make a massive difference. The Wisconsin Watch piece also notes environmental lobbyists who backed the grant resource team found that most lawmakers actually supported a number of these proposals, observed a need for it within their communities, but it didn't matter because a majority on the Joint Committee on Finance nonetheless opposed creating any additional governmental staff positions.
And that gets back to, is it the best way for Wisconsin to craft a two-year budget to have 16 lawmakers of the 132 lawmaker body create ultimately the final version of the budget? Because that's what we saw throughout this budget process. The Joint Finance Committee took the Evers budget proposal, stripped it down to its studs, and then they, as 16 members of the Wisconsin legislature, decided what was not and what was included in what ultimately, with very few changes, became the final version of what was sent to Governor Tony Evers by the Wisconsin legislature. And so, yeah, that's an important aspect to note, because this is something that lawmakers in their communities would be able to see a tangential benefit from if more of their local communities could receive those federal funds through this grant program.
Particularly, the small rural communities, the type of communities that frequently complain that they don't get the type of attention from the state government as the Milwaukees and the Madisons and all that. Well, here is an opportunity to take federal funds and use it to build up your community. And, I guess the Republican legislature just doesn't want to invest that $960,000 required to assist these type of small communities, which, again, it's pennies on the dollar compared to the millions and millions of dollars that these programs would cost and would receive assistance from the federal government with. I can't understand it. That's above my pay grade. I think it's interesting too, Luke, you noted that 16 members of the Joint Finance Committee were able to essentially rebuild the budget from the ground up. Keep in mind that the Wisconsin budget is a $99 billion plan that was now mostly authored by Republicans. This is a state of 5-ish million people, and a $99 billion plan in the hands of 16 people, that seems almost antithetical to democracy, but maybe that's just me. We're going to be continuing our conversation on the budget. We're going to jump into the clean water program that we mentioned a little bit earlier, rural communities going forward. This is Town Call. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News brief. At least one death is blamed on the torrential rain and flooding in parts of the Northeast.
A young woman, 35 years old, who came out seeing that her house was taking on too much water.
was with her dog, and her fiancé literally saw her swept away.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul. In Arizona, forecasters say temperatures will hit 110 today or higher for the 10th straight day. President Biden spent time today with Britain's King Charles, as we hear from CBS's Vicky Barker.
The body language of the two men was relaxed. They see eye to eye on climate and were meeting with philanthropists and investors about combating climate change.
CBS's Jim Krasula tells us a notorious former sports doctor was stabbed behind bars.
The attack happened yesterday at the U.S. Penitentiary in Coleman, Florida. Larry Nassar is said to be in stable condition after being stabbed several times in the back and chest by another inmate.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WAUK, The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. A Waukesha teacher who could be fired over Dolly Parton's Rainbowland song has a hearing today. Melissa Temple is a first-grade teacher at Higher Elementary School. She tweeted her objections when the song was removed from the school's spring concert. The story has made national news. The district says Temple's response was inappropriate and accuses her of violating district policies. Improvements are finally done to downtown Waukesha. After 9 years of work, the streets are repaved and the sidewalks are replaced. The streetlights are improved and so are the sewer and water lines. Upgrades to the West Broadway area was the final piece of the puzzle. The project started in 2014 and cost $18.5 million. I'm Terry Bell and this is WAUK News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
So what did I? Virginia, my home, sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different.
Welcome, one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are catching Luke Mathers back up on the week he may have missed. If we haven't touched on anything that you think Luke needs to know about, or if there's anything in the budget that you believe needs to be covered, let us know. We are continuing our conversation on the Wisconsin budget that was signed by Governor Tony Evers last Wednesday, and we kind of jumped into a piece from Wisconsin Watch noting Republican lawmakers reject proposal to help Wisconsin communities access federal grant programs. And Luke, I wanted to touch on a quote from the end. I noted before the break that a number of environmental lobbyists who have been backing the grant resource team noted that a number of lawmakers support the proposal, observed a need for it within their own communities, but it didn't matter because a majority on the Joint Committee on Finance opposed creating the additional government staff positions. There's a quote from Jennifer, I believe it's Geigerich, who is the government affairs director with the Wisconsin Conservation Voters. She said, quote, "It's the very communities this was most supposed to help that are going to be most hurt by radical political decision," unquote. We touched on it a little bit earlier that, you know, clean water, rural internet access, these are the type of things that big cities don't necessarily have to worry about. They've had them in place for years, but a lot of the more rural, low populated towns and villages across the state of Wisconsin could desperately use a lot of this infrastructure built in for them. We have the ability here with the federal grant program to provide that, and GOP legislators rejected it. And I find it a bit ironic, I guess, for a party that sits around all the time talking about how you can't only care about the big cities. You need to care about all Wisconsinites. And then they're presented an opportunity right here to care about all Wisconsinites, to get them clean water, to get them internet access, to get them the things that you need in the modern world to be able to have a healthy, successful life and to have thriving communities. Is this just, am I approaching this wrong? Is there something I'm missing here, or how does this make any sense? Are we just being gaslit by our elected officials?
I think it just goes to show that there is a concentrated effort among some elected officials here in the Wisconsin legislature to just play politics and not actually deliver for the communities that they represent. Important to note from the Wisconsin Watch piece that both the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Finance, Mark Bourne, the Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam, and State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green, did not respond to comment on this piece from Wisconsin Watch. So not only was there this provision not included in the two-year budget, they did not feel the need to comment on the fact that it wasn't included in the upcoming biennial budget. And a quick shout out to Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin, the music for this segment, for catching me up on being out for a couple of days, something that she likes to do with that Hamilton soundtrack. So just want to give her a shout out. I'm not stealing her answers to the homework or the test without giving her due credit. I'm not gonna say
you're stealing the answers to the,
I'm not gonna say I came up with the segment or anything like that without giving, you know, actual credit to whoever came up with it. So shout out to Kristen Bry.
Very good, Luke. Very good. We're gonna go to the phone lines. We got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, is there something that Luke needs to be caught up on that we may have missed?
No, I did have a couple of comments about the budget.
Let's hear them, Jack.
The first thing I wanted to say is the arrogant Republican legislators who in 13 years have seen no voter consequences for anything they've done. In 2 out of 3 years for 3/4 of the year. In any case, they think they can do about anything, and they had to get real creative on this budget in order to give the top wage earners in the state $2.4 billion tax giveaway that, fortunately, Governor Evers vetoed that one. So we have that money available now, either in our regular budget or perhaps just possibly to use for supporting our public schools, which the private school welfare program got a $3,000 per pupil boost, and the public school program got the option of being able to vote in referendum to put in another $300 per student per year. That just seems to me to be a pretty outrageous disconnect. This is going to cost your taxpayers, you know, millions over the years. Well, they're right, but of course they've got the money in the bank, so to speak. They could use that to support the public schools, but instead they're going to throw it on the property taxes. So that's the main thing I wanted to say. The other thing, though, is this is not unprecedented, extending this for 400 years. In 2017, Governor Walker made his infamous 1,000-year veto, in which he extended the prohibition against using school funding, I believe, to improve the heating ventilation conditions in public schools from 2018 to 2018. So this long extension is hardly a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used his partial veto to turn the deadline. He cut it. It was originally, Jack, December 31st of 2018, and he cut the 1 and the 2 to have it instead read December of 3018. But there was no complaints at that point, right?
Yeah, well, and the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, I believe, was taking the State Supreme Court, and they said, well, yeah, that's just fine. Governor can do that.
Yep.
So I'm sure that if they are, of course, consistent and not being hypocrites, they'll say Evers' veto is just fine, too.
I think we know how that one's going to go, though. We appreciate the phone call, Jack. You can be like Jack, 844-967-2789. You can join us here on Town Call. Call or text 844-967-2789. I've been off a couple days myself getting caught up on these headlines. But, yeah, the action taken in this partial line item veto by Evers, not unprecedented. It's important, as Jack pointed out, that it is not the first time something has been extended, and not nearly the longest something has been extended due to a partial veto.
Or the most times it's been used, Luke. Evers used a line item veto 51 times in this year's budget bill, which is, again, not uncommon. In 1991, Republican Governor Tommy Thompson set the record for number of line item vetoes at 457. That 400 number coming up again here, as it was 400 more line item vetoes than Tony Evers used. It's been used extensively, incredibly expansively in the past, which, as we noted on Friday, has led to amendments to it, such as the Frankenstein veto, or where you can no longer cut individual letters out of certain words to create new words. There are, you know, I took the argument on Friday, and I guess I'd be interested, regardless of which party is in power, as it should be, because I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite. I think line item veto powers for Wisconsin governors is overreaching. I think it should not be allowed. And I think that applies across the aisle, right? It was unacceptable when Tommy Thompson did it. It was unacceptable when Scott Walker did it. And I don't think it should be allowed when Tony Evers did it right now. Now, I love it because what he did was hilariously trolling. And I think it's very funny, but I think conceptually, this is affording the governor a little bit too much power. What are your thoughts?
I think it is unmistakably, it is one of the most powerful veto pens in the entire country. The Wisconsin governor's veto pen is pretty much unparalleled, and you don't see anything else like it. It is a pretty interesting tool that Wisconsin governors get. I could see arguments that it is a little bit too far-reaching in some of these instances. It's clearly been reined in, as you noted, the Frankenstein veto no longer allowed. But this one, kind of the, I don't know, kicking back timelines one, can have pretty consequential impacts as well. And so I think that there's always an opportunity and room for improving democracy in Wisconsin, and I'd be happy to include this in the conversation. But I think the conversation also needs to be had about whether or not 16 lawmakers on a joint committee of finance should ultimately be the only 16 individuals contributing to what is included and what is not included in a state's biennial budget. And so happy to have that conversation about changes on improving this budget process, but I think both of those things would need to be considered if we're having that conversation. 844-967-2789. If you want to participate in today's Town Call Forum, give us a call. Send us a text. You can be like Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. I think it's kind of ironic, all these Republicans screaming about Tony Evers acting in bad faith, when the very first thing they did before Evers even took office was remove a good deal of his power from the democratically elected governor back in 2018. Now that it's just pretty disgusting that they opted to do that, and for them to say, "Oh, it's bad faith," well, No, it's not bad faith. You guys have done nothing but trash Tony Evers, you know, from day one, and you didn't go along with him on trying to protect Wisconsinites during the pandemic, and that it is just it's just ironic that these guys, you know, that they've seen no consequences. They have the state gerrymandered as such. Hopefully that'll change something, or maybe the scales will drop off the eyes of their voters and decide that maybe a little bit more democratically run state would be far better off for them. That and maybe Evers can overcome their not getting the five positions that he wanted to help these communities out. As within the individual agencies, there are actually people that work with the grants with the communities, and maybe he can activate those people to actually work with the communities and help them out, you know, in their grant writing, because I know that in the past at the DNR there was actually, you know, in a grant section they used to work directly with the communities and help them with their grants, and some of those grants actually included federal dollars. So maybe there's a workaround on that that you know, via the department administration of the various agencies to help people out, the communities out with getting the funding that they need. But
that's a really good point, Mark. Oh, go ahead. Continue, please.
Yeah, it just is disgusting that Republicans are doing this, and it is just it's just bad news. I mean, because that's the kind of grants I was, you know, working as at the DNR that got a lot of small communities would get, you know, parks grants and that kind of thing. So it's just something for maybe the governor should consider. But, I mean, the Republicans can all go to hell. I mean, that, and I'll leave it with that.
Appreciate the phone call, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I mean, something Mark touched on, grant funding in particular, this money is out there. The federal funds are already out there. I think you're doing a disservice to the people of Wisconsin to not be trying to get them for your own communities, to get them for your for the people of your state. I want to touch on something else, Luke, and you briefly mentioned it before the show, but Mark's call just reminded me of it. A quote from Tyler August, the Assembly Majority Leader, who said, quote, "After months of good faith negotiations on major budget items, it is unacceptable that he went back on his word and broke our agreement," referring to Governor Tony Evers. "It will be difficult, if not impossible, to ever negotiate with this governor again in the future," unquote. That's hilarious coming from individuals who, as Mark noted, stripped the governor of a number of powers during the lame duck session post Scott Walker's defeat. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And to sit here acting like, you know, to take the high road and being like, we have done everything in our power to work with you, when that's just not what happened, I think it's disingenuous at best and categorically lying at worst.
The 545 provisions of Evers' budget that were stripped out in one vote by the Joint Committee on Finance is not good faith. So to describe that process of removing the duly elected governor, as Mark pointed out, Tony Evers hasn't been dealing with a lot of good faith since he's been elected in 2018. And to try to whitewash the way that Democratic or Republican lawmakers have taken advantage of the situation is an interesting stance to take, I guess. Folks, you're listening to Tech Call. I'm Luke Mathers, William Walter. We're going to continue the conversation. If you want to contribute, 844-967-2789. We're going to get into an interesting new survey showing some results of why it may be important to have communities that can invest in things like clean water coming up next. So what did I miss?
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shining me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shop. We'll see lots of sunshine for this afternoon with highs in the upper 80s, close to 90, with breezy southwest winds. For tonight, chance for some late night showers and storms, a low of 66. Tuesday, lingering slight chance for a shower or storm early in the day, not as hot, with highs back to 81, and low 70s making a return for Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently, it's 81.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town.
Welcome, one. Welcome, all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It is Monday. We got Mr. Luke Mathers back. It's my least favorite Wednesday of the week, unfortunately, but we're here and we are talking the Wisconsin budget once again. And Luke, before we jump into a story that you found earlier that I think Governor Evers incorporated to his line item veto, particularly regarding the reduction of a $10 million grant to the Greater Milwaukee Convention and Visitors Bureau, or Visit Milwaukee, which he turned into $1 million with the remaining $9 million to go to the Department of Tourism for general remarketing purposes. The grant was meant to help the Visitors Bureau organize the 2024 Republican National Convention. In his veto message, Evers said he opposed Republicans providing this level of funding when they did not fund other priorities like childcare and higher education. Well done to the governor. I like to give credit where credit is due. And in this situation, that is more than applicable. This is a, you know, private entity hosting their big national party here. Why are they getting state funding for it, particularly when they go out of their way to criticize by its bootstraps? It's defunding itself, all that kind of stuff. But then they turn around and ask for $10 million when it directly benefits them. And I guess, thought it was also interesting.
Oh, go ahead. I missed it. Did the city of Green Bay receive the $2 million for the NFL draft coming up in a couple years here?
That was the next point. What is still in the budget? Evers left other major parts of the state budget untouched, including pay raises for state employees, $125 million to address PFAS contamination, which we will get to in 1 second, and $2 million to help Green Bay host the National Football League draft in 2025.
All right, so those Packers, they're still getting their little handout to help put on the draft.
Packers are getting theirs, yes. So, Luke, you noted to me before the show, a piece from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel study suggests forever chemicals could be in 45% of American homes, a figure that tracks with Wisconsin's findings. Nearly half of U.S. households could have some sort of forever contaminants in their tap water, according to a new study from the United States Geological Survey that closely tracks the findings of a journal investigation into Wisconsin, estimating that about 40% tap water in the country contains one or more PFAS. Holy moly, Luke. Last summer, the Journal Sentinel collected and analyzed tap water from 40 Wisconsin communities. About 40% of the samples had detectable levels of at least one type of PFAS, with 30% of the samples above the very low health actions limits recommended by the Environmental Protection Agency last year. When we talk about how important federal grants can be so that we have the opportunity to provide safe and clean water to the people of Wisconsin, this is why we're talking about it. Almost half of houses in the state, Luke, have forever chemical contaminants. We are literally poisoning people if we do not clean this up.
This is a part of a U.S. Geological Survey as well, that 8 well sites here in Wisconsin were a part of, and all of those, all eight of the Wisconsin well sites that were included in this test, Will, tested well above the federal limits, but below the state limits set for PFAS by the Wisconsin Board of Natural or Wisconsin Natural Resources Board. And so I think it's interesting to point out that we don't know the exact reach of these forever chemicals, these PFAS chemicals that are used for nonstick ware and many different firefighting foam, any water resistant material or product can include PFAS. It is as far reaching as when you go to the fast food drive through and you get a to-go wrapper it's got like kind of the waxy, yeah, everybody knows the fast food wrappers. Mm-hmm. Those have PFAS in them. And so this is a wide-ranging problem. We do not know the prevalence of PFAS because this has been something that the state has been unfortunately dragging its feet on. There were one of the centers of why Frederick Prehn did not want to step down from the Natural Resources Board was because that entity was going to votes on determining state would deem safe or unsafe for these forever chemicals. And so the state currently has it set at a threshold way greater than the federal standards. But this is something that, like, all of this gets kicked down the road when we do not study and try to figure this out and address clean drinking water here in Wisconsin. And so it just gets back to the story of this office not being included, a state office to help local communities get the federal resources available to them to address things like PFAS. And then we find out at the same time that it is in a survey that the U.S. Geological Survey did of 45% of American homes' tap water is just an outstanding connection. And it is something that we need to be able to address. And unfortunately, I do not know if the state budget is going to be able to address this with just the limited. As you noted, Evers did not change the amount that was for PFAS, but it I think a little bit lower than what will actually be needed to address this problem if it is truly this widespread.
Yeah, and it's funny we should be talking about this a couple weeks after the air quality concerns that we were facing in southeastern Wisconsin. Realistically, you know, air and water are the two most obvious necessities for human life. I go by the rule of threes, I believe, which is you can go 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. Realistically, this is the foundation of surviving. This is the foundation of happy, healthy, thriving communities. And if you do not have access to clean and safe drinking water, again, I have to reiterate this, we are quite literally poisoning cities such as La Crosse, Marinette, Peshtigo, Milwaukee, Madison, Rip Mountain, the town of Stella, Rhinelander, and Eau Claire. As the number of contaminations grew across the state, regulators have worked to create regulations, which did go into effect last year, setting the 70 parts per trillion standard for drinking water. However, the federal government's regulation of 4 parts per trillion will likely go through months, if not years, of evaluation before it's enacted into any type of law. The state of Wisconsin does not have regulations for groundwater, but the Department of Natural Resources this year began a 3-year rulemaking process to establish those. To give you some numbers, Luke, in Wisconsin, about 1 million households rely on private wells, which is about 30-ish percentage of the percent of the population.
And this survey did include private wells as well. So it is a prevalent PFAS chemicals are a prevalent factor in both private and municipal water sources.
And Luke, I have to note the chemicals have been linked to types of kidney and testicular cancer, lower birth weights, harm to immune system and reproductive system, altered hormone regulation, altered thyroid hormones. I mean, this is disastrous for the long-term health of the people of Wisconsin, for all people, any human being. We are not designed to deal with this type of chemical. So thank you for joining us today. This is Town Call. If you'd like to participate in the forum going forward for the rest of the week, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are very happy to have Mr. Luke Mathers back today. He will be back all week. We are back in the routine, back in the flow, back in the swing of things, and we'd love to have you participate with us. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Cruz. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.